Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. This is Charles, and this is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you fantastic. I can hear you fantastic. This is the Adulting Hour with Dave, Dave Rand, and he is calling us all the way from
Northern Ireland.
Welcome. It's a huge time difference, of course, but thank you so much for doing this with me. This episode is called cybersecurity. I really think it's important that the young people who are on Facebook or on any sort of media outlet, to understand the importance of protecting your data. This is called the Adulting Hour, and the Adulting Hour, we talk about stuff that we wish we would have known when we were growing up, growing through this adult phase, you know. And right now, it's important because we are in an electronic age. We are in an internet age. That's where we put all our information out on the internet, you know. And we have to be really, really careful. So, Dave, if you can give us your background and then a description of what cybersecurity is.
My background is I was a software developer for forever, and then I worked my way into security at a company that I worked for. Ended up getting my master's degree in software and system security, and took over the security of the company before I left and moved to Northern Ireland. So I wouldn't call myself a cybersecurity expert, but I know some things about security. And so what is cybersecurity? It's a pretty big question, really, but I think in this context, it's more to do with privacy than security, I think is what if we're aiming this message toward younger people and
Yes,
sharing
yes.
information online and so on, I'd say it's all about protecting your personal information, information about who you are, where you are, what you have, what you're doing, all those sorts of things. And you mentioned kind of growing up with technology. I think young people today are so much more immersed in technology than we ever were growing up. They probably are smarter about it than we give them credit for, I think. But yeah.
I think that's 100% true. But you know, some things I do notice, and I hear so much about when especially even myself, but you probably experience this too, is when you are like, oh my God, I was just talking about tacos, and tacos came across my screen, or I was talking about getting a blue shirt, and blue shirt came across my cell phone. And what I tell a lot of people is that it's your phone is really technically listening to you all the time and taking in keywords. And there is ways for you to turn that mode off on your phone. You know, you can go into your settings and turn in microphone off just for specific apps or for all the apps. You know, do you have any other tips that they can do?
Yeah, I mean, operating systems have gotten better recently about notifying you when something's using the microphone. Windows does now. It shows a little microphone icon in the bottom. Your Apple device should tell you what's using the microphone. If anything's using the microphone, you see a little green bar across the top. But that anecdote you mentioned about how, you talk about blue pants and then you start getting ads about blue pants. Security researchers have looked into that because a lot of people do say that exact thing that you just, described. And so far, nobody's found any hard evidence that it's happening, at least not through through your handset, your mobile handset. But things like Alexa, obviously they're always recording. They even tell you that we're recording, we're analyzing the data, and those, do generate ads. But I think people don't realize that all of your online activity is kind of tied together. So if last week you search for jeans and they know your favorite color is blue, you're going to start getting ads for blue jeans. I think where that stuff kind of falls flat is they don't realize that you've actually already ordered your blue jeans and no longer need an ad for that, and you keep getting ads a week later. But that's a different topic, I guess.
That's true, actually. It's funny. I worked in retail for 17 years, and one thing that we talked about a lot in retail was target marketing. What they used to do is every time you swiped your credit card, everything you shop for, like let's say if you shopped in a housewares department, you will start all the ads that would, the mailers that they would get you would get would be houseware mailers.
Yep.
You know, if you shop for kids' clothes, those kids' clothes mailers. You know, then when th this was, you know, years ago, you know, when I first started, and then when they started going towards the like digital age, more so towards the digital age, they started saying that as long as you were on their website or on any website, and you allow them to have access to your information. Because people don't know, when you say, hey, okay, I'm going to accept, I'm going to say Facebook, for instance. If you say, I accept Facebook onto this computer, you're actually giving Facebook permissions to all the information on your computer. You're not really saying, I want you to look through it, but you're saying, hey, yeah, you can have permission to look through, to monitor some of my stuff on my computer
Well,
in a small app.
it's more about the cookies that they use. So when you're on those websites, they set a cookie, and it's not so much the Facebook cookie, it's the advertising cookie that all the other websites use. So when you give permission to use cookies, your browser has a cookie from either Google Analytics or one of the big ad networks, and they have, millions of customers. So every website you go to uses that same cookie. And they can, so then they just keep a, big history of what you've done. If you go into Facebook privacy settings, you can actually go into, if you dig around deep enough, there's a setting called offsite information. And if you go in there, it's actually quite creepy. They show you quite an extensive list of everything that they know that you've done on the computer in the past, God knows how long, until you've, since the last time you cleared it. A lot of people don't know that even exists, but they're tracking your offsite information and using that to better deliver targeted ads, not just the right ad, but the right ad at the right time to that's going to be most likely to make you buy something or act in a certain way.
How do you clear that?
You dig around in the privacy settings. It's I don't know the exact path off the top of my head, but when you go into Facebook settings and privacy, there's a privacy checkup where you can kind of start. But when you get deeper into that, I'd have to look it up and give you a link to get exactly in there because it does take kind of a few minutes to usually find it actually.
Yeah, I know that. I know on your cell phone, you can just go in, and what I do is, it depends on what phone you have. Since I have an Android, I can go into my Android, I go into apps, and then I go into privacy settings, and then it'll have a list of things. Like, and if I click on a specific app, it'll have a list of things I want to turn on and turn off. And I went through a lot of the apps because it kept showing up on my phone. I'm like, wait a minute. I turned off my notifications, but yet and still I'm getting these messages coming across the top of my phone. So what I did was I turned each and every last one of those off, just so that, and then I turned them off, and then I only turn them on only when I'm using the app.
Yep.
So then that takes away from a lot more permissions. And now, you know what I noticed a lot nowadays is that a lot of apps are asking you when you load them up onto your phone. It says allow all time, or allow only when app is open.
Yes.
And I think
So that's your
that's important.
phone. Yeah, that's your phone asking you that. It's saying this app is asking for this permission. What would you like to grant it? And once you make that setting, that's the last time it'll ask. So if you forget that you've done that, then that thing could be listening to your microphone or more likely just looking at your contacts or other data that's on your phone. So, yeah.
That's true. And another thing that I noticed too, with this, with putting this information out on the phone. Now, people and kids have a problem with putting each and every single information out on the internet. Like, hey, I'm at this place, or hey, I'm doing this, or hey, I'm doing that, or showing pictures of postings of them, and doing each and every single thing. And that's us. It's just us older folks talking, okay? How do you, and this isn't even about, like, none of the cybersecurity. This is about personal security. How do you personally feel about putting your information on the internet about where you are, what you're doing, and who you're with?
I think when social media first hit, when Facebook kind of started getting more popular with people our age, a lot of us didn't really think much about it. We just, the check-in feature was used all the time. You check in at the airport. So that's a big one because then anybody who's connected with you and can see that check-in obviously knows you're leaving town. And if they know where you live and they know, anything about your property or whatever, you're at risk. Kids, I think these days, I don't know if they're more savvy about that sort of thing, but yeah, that's one of the more serious risks, I think, because you open yourself up to stalking, burglary, and all of that when you reveal your location, anything about your personal situation, really.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's funny. It's not really funny. It's sad because for 2 years in a row, previous, the Patriots went to the Super Bowl, you know, with Gronkowski and whatever that guy's name is. What's their quarterback's name
I don't
again?
care.
I can't remember. Anyway, so for 2 years in a row, each Super Bowl game, his house was literally broken into while he was playing the Super Bowl. And that wasn't even social media. That's because the people knew that he was on. He was out of town. So that goes to show you that people really are, it don't matter who you are, they are truly paying attention to everything that you do. And oh, and every single thing that you, and then I think also like the content that you put out. I know I sound like an old man, but you know what? I'm on the internet all day. The content that you put out is important. You know, I had my niece who was working at a bar. You know, she put out some content, you know, and she's a server. She's making really good money. You know, before then, you know, she was working at different places, but then when she started serving, she started making really good money. And she put some content on Facebook, you know, just because that's what they do. You know, those 20 somethings do that. And when she got to work, her manager had pulled her into the office and said, "Hey, this content is unbecoming of our establishment." You know, luckily, she knew the manager came to her on a personal level before anybody else saw it, because she could have been and had some serious ramifications,
And I
you
think
know.
that happens a lot
And
these days. People have that written into their employment contracts now. Employers often have a clause in their in your employment agreement that says you won't do anything that'll make us look bad on social media. And maybe she got lucky that, you know, he came to her on a personal level because it could have been worse.
yeah, it could have been worse, you know. And I, for a fact, you know, being working in retail for 17 years and being a retail manager for was it 15 of those 17 years, we always went through content. And it wasn't because we always went through Facebook content and social media content, because you know, we was hiring for specialist positions and we would sometimes hire for supervisory positions, and we needed to know who this person was who were hiring. You know, do you get people that put, you know, the people like to smoke weed on their pages, do all different types of things, and you're like, hey, I don't want this type of person, you know, working in an establishment where we are, you know, because in retail we work with a lot of younger people. You know, so we need somebody who's gonna work with these younger people and mold some minds and even take the job even more serious, you know. And when you look at somebody's Facebook page, I know it's judging, but hey, sometimes it's like, man, this person might not take this job serious. They might not show up to work on time. And it works. I mean, it might not sound like, people might be like, well, why you do that? That's because it works. You have to know who you're working for, because this is about money and making money, you know. It's not about giving away money or just coming to work and just laying around the lounge, and it's a true
I'd
business.
venture to say most hiring managers do exactly that. When they've narrowed down the list of candidates that they're looking at for a position, they'll look them up on the internet, see how easy they are to find, and look at their social media, see if they're, you know, being stupid on Facebook. You know, one element of that isn't just what they've done, it's their judgment. You know, it says, well, they have poor judgment because they did this silly thing, but then they posted it on Facebook, knowing full well that I, as an employer, could come and see it. So, you know, it's not just what you do, but also kind of what you decide to post and the reasoning that went behind that that people can use against you. And companies use that data in all kinds of ways. Insurance investigators have been known to find incriminating things on Facebook if you have, you know, if you're off work because of a bad back or something, and then they see you jumping out of an airplane or whatever. But
You know, if you got a claim for a bad back and you jumping out the airplane, you deserve everything you
Well, if you then post it on
get.
Facebook, especially,
That's so true. And you know, it's funny that stuff does happen, and people don't think that people don't think that that happens, but it happens all the time.
And
Seriously,
it's
that's
not
pretty
just
funny.
Facebook. I mean, you and I, as old people, probably really only use Facebook and maybe YouTube, but I mean, there's so many different channels out there these days, and the young people seem to find them, and then, you know, it takes us a while to catch up to even understand what they're doing. Like TikTok was in use for a long time before it ever hit the media, and adults kind of started looking at what was going on there, and they're using WhatsApp in ways that we don't understand, and even a Fitbit, you know,
Absolutely.
that those things are leaving little data trails that could affect somebody's privacy and security.
That's true. And you know, also the what is it called? I call it Snapchat. Yeah. Drive my kids crazy. But you know, if you look on it and you don't turn the feature off, your Snapchat app will show people exactly where you at yeah. all times. It's like a live GPS. So when I signed up for it just because I want to, you know, stalk my children, but it's okay. And then I looked on it. And I said, "Hold on, wait a minute. This is me. It's showing the face of me, my avatar moving around." And I was like, "Oh no, I had to turn this off." And then I was looking at my children. I called them. I said, "Hey, you guys need to turn off that feature immediately because it's showing everybody exactly where you are." So if you out there trying to cheat on your little girlfriend, young men, and a young women. I'm not going to be sexist here. Young men and young women. If you're out there and you got Snappity Chat up on your phone, you showing your girlfriend or your boyfriend exactly where you at all times.
hey, baby. I'm at the grocery store with my mom.
No, you ain't. I see you at the AMC. Who you at the AMC with?
Yep, that's one risk.
And that's a huge risk. Can you imagine your girl coming up to the Dave? Can you imagine Leah's coming up to the movie theater? Oh, Dave, what in the hell are you doing? That'd be awful, seriously. Because you know, even though you would never do that, but that's kind of awful. So people think, use your brain, pay attention to what you put out there and what you're putting on the internet. It all can come back to you.
The bigger risk is more having strangers being able to stalk you, you know, especially, you know, there are some creepy people. And, you know, if somebody gets obsessed with a girl or even a, you know, a boy or whatever, and have the ability to find out where they are, bad things can happen and do happen. And, you know, the personal details that people share, you know, some people think when personal information is just, you know, your name, birth date, social security number, and so on, but it's so much more, you know, photos, private photos, or, you know, your location, your medical information, which is even, you know, even sharing your mental health. You know, people post about being depressed all the time, and all of that stuff is sensitive. And if it gets out to the wrong parties, it can be used against you, not just by stalkers or girlfriends, you know, looking for their cheating boyfriends, but insurance companies, you know, if they repealed the Affordable Health Care Act in the US, you know, the lack of, you know, the protection against pre-existing condition discrimination, you know, just having posts on social media saying about how you're suicidal or something could prevent you from getting medical insurance or health insurance. So it's something to think about.
That's absolutely true. Hey, Dave, we're going to take a 2-minute break. And when we come back, we got another segment, and it's going to talk a little bit more about cybersecurity and protecting your data. Thank you so much. I'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the Adulting Hour. You know, the first half, we did talk about, you know, some daunting things about cybersecurity and what the things that could happen. What are some good practices that we can use, Dave, with protecting information?
I think about what you share, you know, just assume that people are recording you at all times. You know, when you're, and kids, everybody around you has basically a video recorder in their hand. You know, their phone can record video, photos, whatever. Just assume that if you do something stupid, somebody's going to get it on video and it will come back to haunt you. But when you post things online, think about what you share and who you share it with. So anytime you post to Facebook, don't make it public. Maybe, you know, share it with just your friends, or even create another list like acquaintances and, or, you know, friends except acquaintances, if you only want to share something sensitive with the people you really trust. And so limiting the audience of your post. But as I mentioned before, you know, the privacy checkup tools, most social media platforms these days have tools you can use where you go in and look at your privacy settings. You can go and change the visibility of your past posts to be more private. And you know, as I mentioned, that off Facebook information, you just go right into privacy settings and click on your information and then off Facebook activity, and you'll be blown away by what's in there. So you can delete that stuff and prevent Facebook from crossing over into the rest of your life a little more. But most of all, I think it's, you know, having adults talking to their kids, you know, keep talking, let them know that, you know, if something does come up, if they start getting, you know, bullied online, or if they sent a photo to somebody and then they shared it, that, you know, there are things that can be done, but we have to know so that we can help. And, you know, we have to try to stay informed ourselves as adults as well, because it's moving so fast. And like I said, you know, there are platforms the kids are using that we don't even know about. So,
you know, I met an IT guy. He was probably around 60, 65 years old. And, you know, I was taking him around because I drive Uber, and I was driving him around, and he's been in the business for, like, he said, like 40, 50 years or something like that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty fantastic. You know, my question to him was, how do you stay relevant in this world? Because every day you see Silicon Valley, and I'm not even going to talk about Silicon Valley, because they call Minnesota the IT highway. I mean, we got a lot of IT firms in the Twin Cities, and if you look at it, it's huge. And I was like, how do you stay relevant when I picked up another guy 2 weeks ago, and he was 19 years old, and he was managing a huge firm. And I'm like, so how do you stay relevant? And his what he said to me is, it's a lot of work. I get up every day. I turn on my computer. Look at my phone. I got my computer in one side of me. I got my phone on the other side, and I'm always looking for relevant information, new information. What's new? What's new? And because I'm in the field, I gotta stay with what's new. Because if I don't stay with what's new, the young people will take over, because they do have newer ideas and different ideas, you know. And which is fine. And me knowing what's new, with their newer ideas, I can integrate the older ones that I have, which I know how to do real well, and integrate the new ones in it, and we can make better products for everybody, not just for the young people, but for people our age.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is hard to stay up to date with everything that's going on the internet. I think if you have kids, though, the focus would probably be more how to, you know, what are the things that their peers are using, what are the pressures going to be, and what do they need to do to look after themselves? And, you know, because you can't know everything. It's such a broad field that's moving so fast, it's impossible to keep in touch with it all the time. But, you know, just focus on what's important to us, I guess.
That's funny. And, you know, it's funny because we were two older guys talking about the interwebs and the workers of the interwebs. But we are so computer savvy and so savvy that young people go, well, you old folks don't know much. Well, we know a lot. You may not think we know a lot because of the generation, and we're not staring at our cell phones 24 hours a day, you know, maybe 10 to 11, but not 24 hours a day staring at our cell phones, which is funny, especially when you walk past. Dave, have you ever went out to a restaurant to eat with your wife, and y'all was sitting down having a great conversation, and you turned to the left and you saw a couple sitting there just staring at their cell phone the entire day?
Yeah.
Like the entire day.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what they text each other. Hey babe, how's that taco? Oh, that taco's really good. Was it crunchy? Ding. Oh, it was super crunchy. It's funny because we saw that one time when we were out at a restaurant. They're just sitting there on the phones the entire time on a date. And then the waitress came over to us and said that was an internet date, and it was their first date. I said, either it didn't go well, or they really don't know how to communicate with each other.
Wow.
And all they did was text and post stuff up on Facebook or whatever they were doing.
Oh, that's awful.
Which is kind of weird. It is awful, but, you know, even...
So I was going to say about when we were, you know, talking about privacy and about young people and living here in Europe, well, it's no longer part of the EU after Brexit, but that the whole, I don't know if you've heard about GDPR, this regulation basically... gives European people many, many more rights. And so companies are a lot more careful about the data they save. And unfortunately, people there in Minnesota don't have, you know, those same rights. So that's one of the good things about living over here is I can any company that saves my data, I can send them an email and say, delete my data, and they have to do it by law or they'll get fined.
That's fantastic. Hey, you know what, Dave? Can you mention that show that you told me Carrie and I to watch? It was fantastic. What was it called?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It was the one with they were talking about Cambridge Analytics or something like that.
Oh, oh man, what was it called? It's on Netflix. It's about social media.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can't remember.
Yeah, we watched that show
Social
and it gave
Dilemma.
us a lot. Yeah, that's what it's called, Social
The
Dilemma.
Social Dilemma. Yeah, it basically explains a lot of what we were talking about, that companies have like weaponized data. They've, you know, the way that they collect and track data is so fine-tuned now that, you know, they can almost predict what you're going to do.
They even touched on a little bit about how, you know, how that those little wavy lines come up and you're supposed to type it in and click on it and say, this is a, you're a human being. Mm-hmm. They even took information from that to see how people were reading those wavy lines to get more information from you as an individual on how to send you specific information.
It's amazing. It's the yeah, level of detail is amazing because they're extracting money out of it. That's why there's a huge financial incentive. And as long as there's money involved, people will be putting effort into squeezing more and more out of it.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Hey, Dave, I just want to thank you so much, so very much for being part of this today.
Oh, thanks
you
for asking me. It was fun.
Always come back. Oh, yeah, definitely. You can always come back. We can always talk about more things besides cybersecurity and any other thing you want to talk about, okay?
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
No problem. Have a good day now.
You too. Bye, Charles.
Bye. Bye. Hey, that concludes our episode. Thank you so much to everyone for watching. Hey, please become a supporter of the Adulting Hour podcast by me, Charles. Support a my podcast with a small donation to help sustain the future episodes. You can give a 99 cent per month, $4.99 per month, or $9.99 per month, depending on how much you like it. And please subscribe to my podcast channel, please, and thank you. And if you have any questions or anything, you can always email me on the bottom. My email address is on the bottom. It's linked to it so that I would be able to answer some questions for you. And if you want to be on the show, email me too as well. And if you got a great topic, we can also talk about it too as well. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful day.